Genesis chapter 48, starting from verse 1.
And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, Behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me.
Now here we see Jacob is in Egypt. Joseph also is in Egypt. This is not the first day that he saw his father. His father came to Egypt now almost 17 years. And as you know, that Joseph was almost 30 years old, that's the time Pharaoh made him a prime minister. That's the time Pharaoh gave him the priest's daughter. And he got two children from her. And so when Jacob came to Egypt, those children were small. Jacob already saw these children in the beginning. Now these children are teenagers, maybe 19, 20 years old. Because at least they have to be over 17 years, because Jacob is there almost 17 years. And if they were born between a couple of years, so they have to be 18 or 20 years old. And so he says, one told Joseph, your father is sick, and one told Jacob that Joseph is coming. So who is that one person going back and forth? I believe that Joseph might have arranged somebody indirectly take care of his father. See how he's doing, and let me know if he needs my help. Even though he had 11 brothers, but Joseph could not trust on those brothers. They may not take care of his father, and now Joseph is in a good position, so he can keep some servants. Now, even in America, when you get old and you cannot do anything, government sends somebody to help you to cook and do your chores. And so Joseph might have kept somebody to take care of his father, or let me know how he's doing. Now somebody goes, because they did not give their name, because it's not important person. But that person goes and tells Joseph, your father is very sick. He might die any time. He was not that much sick. He will not take his two sons right away. But he got a message that his father might not live too long. So he took his two sons. Manasseh is the firstborn and the Ephraim is the secondborn. So he took his two sons and goes to Jacob. While he's going to Jacob, might be same man coming running to Jacob, say, your son is coming. I already told him that you are sick and he's coming. So get ready. So if he's sleeping, he has to change the clothes. He has to get ready because the prime minister is coming, even though he is his son. But he wants to present himself that he's all right. One day, I took my wife to work, and that was winter time, I think. And when I came home, I opened the door and I could not walk. So I almost crawled to the second floor and I called my wife. My back is hurting. I don't know what happened. And I never complained like that. So it was difficult for me to even get up. So she called Priscilla, my daughter, and she said, your dad cannot even get up. So please go. And she came running. She told me Priscilla is coming. When the Priscilla is coming, just like Jacob, I took myself together and dressed up myself good and sat on my rocking chair. When she comes, daddy's all right. So the point I'm making, Joseph's father start getting together, putting his clothes, and getting ready to meet his son. Means even though he was hurting, he was dying, he put all the strength. God, give me some strength. I want to bless my son. I want to bless my grandchildren. And not only them, he eventually, next chapter we will be seeing, he prophesied over each and every child. And every child he prophesied, and then he felt relaxed and gave his last breath. So this man was strong and healthy. When he came to Egypt, he was 130 years old. 17 years passed so fast. Now he got so much luxury, servants, good food, nothing to worry about anything. But you can have all the food, all the clothes, every riches, but the time will come you have to leave this world. So you have to be always ready. Jesus Christ has given us strength and power and wisdom and grace. I tell people, if you want to live long life, the secret of long life is do something for Jesus Christ. Otherwise, without Christ, living in this world like a foolish thing. If you say, Lord, I want to live for you, give me strength. I have seen so many servants of God. They work hard even the last second and gave their life for Jesus Christ. I don't know, there was a man who was translating the John's Gospel. And when he was translating, he was almost dying. But he would ask them, how many chapters are remaining? And they will say, this many. Okay, I'm going to do it. And then he said, how many? And last he said, now this is the last word. And he finished that last word and he gave up his ghost. So that's the way people should live. Our life should be pleasing in the sight of God. Every minute, every second, we live for God. And God gives you long life. Yesterday we were in the Bible study and I gave the scripture, if you remember. Psalms 91 verse 15 and 16. You can read it one more time. Here it says, God gives us long life. It's a promise. So you have to hold on to these scriptures. Please read.
He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
See, he says, call upon me. When you have trouble, people call doctors, the lawyers, and friends, and everybody, 911, but they forget to call upon Jesus. I tell people, first, call upon Jesus. Jesus is the answer. He said, you call upon me in your trouble, in your trials, you have problems, I will take care of you. Not only that, I will give you long life. Now, 147 years old, Jacob is right now. His father lived more than that. His grandfather lived more than that. But he is in the line. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are all God's people. And we see all these servants of God live for God. And so now he is saying, you know, time to go. But he's not saying his son, could you find the best doctor in Egypt so I could go and take some medicine and live a little longer? We don't see anywhere. Joseph doesn't bring any doctor with him. What he bought to his sons? They were not doctors. Somebody say maybe they were doctors. No, it's not written here. But he bought them to get blessed. And the word of God says, when they came to Jacob, what he's doing, he's testifying what God has done for him. God blessed me. That's what he's trying to say. And so Your testimony should be this. If somebody comes to you for prayer, they are in trouble, they need your help, what you do? You tell them what God has done for you first to increase their faith. But if you start be cry baby, or somebody says, I have the same problem, and you cry with them, your problem is not too much, my problem is worse. So that person said, why did I come to this person? He's more crybaby than me. We should be telling, keep your problem away. You know what, Job? Job was hurting. He was dying with this pain. God told him, go and pray for your friends. He did not say, God, I'm still sick. How can I go and pray for them? But he said, Lord, I said it once, I said it twice, I did so many wrong things, I fought with them, no more. I'm going to listen to you. And Job's heart was changed. So he goes and prays for those people, and instantly, Job got healed. The point I'm making, if somebody comes to you with a problem, give them Jesus. Tell them, hey, Jesus healed me time and time again. Jesus supplied my all needs, and he's there to help you. Let me pray for you, and start like that. I guarantee you that person will be blessed. Joseph comes to his father. How can I help him? How can I make my dad happy? He's saying, let me tell you what God has done. Let's read that verse one more time, verse 3. Genesis 48:3.
And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me.
God Almighty appeared to me in a foreign land, Canaan, and he blessed me. If you want to know the references, you can go to Genesis chapter 28, verses 12 to 15, and Genesis chapter 35, verses 6, 7, and 9 to 15. So, point I'm making, God blessed Jacob. And because of his blessing, his sons and his grandsons are blessed. If you are a blessed man, your blessing will follow. And so we see Abraham was blessed. His son Isaac was blessed. And his son Jacob is blessed. We are going to come to that. But here, the important point is, you should be a blessing to others. And when God has blessed you. But if you are not blessed man, you cannot bless anybody. If you are not rich, you cannot give anybody anything. If you are not strong, you cannot lift up anybody. So, main thing, you have to have blessings of God first, so you can pass it on to somebody. Okay, verse 4. Genesis 48:4.
And said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine.
Now he says, God has blessed me. And you can see, when he came to Egypt, he came, all of his relatives and children and grandchildren, and we have number difficulty. Some people will say they came 70 people. And if you go to Book of Acts, chapters 6 or 7, it says 75. But we'll leave that number aside. The point I'm making, he came and he showed to his son, look how fruitful I am. Because God has said to me, he will make me fruitful and he will multiply my children, and all the people will be blessed. Not only that, he said, I came from Canaan, and the Canaan that was that land was not ours, but God promised Abraham, God promised my father Isaac, and God promised me that he is going to give me that land. So So he is saying, God is going to bless us, and we are going to go back to the land we came from. So he is trying to say, the land we are living is not ours. Even though we have food and everything, don't settle down here. One day we have to leave this land. When we have so much money and beautiful house and beautiful cars and lots of money in the bank, you don't like to go anywhere. You want to, this is my place. When you go for visiting somewhere and tour, he says, man's house is his castle. He said, this is my house. This is my land. And America is blessed. You go anywhere and you come back, and America, you live in America, you are blessed. So you don't like to go anywhere else. But this is not our land. We have to leave everything here and go to the better land. And so he's saying, this land is not ours. Not only me, you and your families, they are going to go back. And then he's giving assurance. Your children, they were born in Egypt, but they are mine. God gave me Reuben and Simeon and all others. He didn't get all the list of other people. But he said, just like Reuben and Simeon, they are my two children, firstborn. So I'm going to take your children as my children. And so I'm going to add to my genealogy. And so he said, I'm going to take them under my wings. Okay, let's read the verse 6.
And thy issue which thou begettest after them shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. And as for me, when I came from Paddan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath, and I buried her there in the way of Ephrath, the same as Bethlehem. And thy issue which thou begettest after them shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. And as for me, when I came from Paddan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath, and I buried her there in the way of Ephrath.
Now he is saying, what happened to his mother? Because his mother is the Rachel. He is telling them, I'm not in promised land. I want to go back to my promised land. And what happened when I was traveling, my wife, Rachel, died. And he says, it was not too far from the place where I was, and I came up to Ephrathah, and my wife died there, and I buried her in that land. Now, Ephrathah is almost the same like Bethlehem. So he said, I buried her in Bethlehem. But the point, if you go a little bit further, but he says, you know what? You do not bury me in Egypt. You bury me in my father's land, where my father and my grandfather is buried. So I was just thinking, he's telling his son, I buried your mother, my wife, on the way. And now he is telling, don't bury me in this land, take me to my father's place. Now somebody say, why could not he take the Rachel? It's not too far from where his father and grandfather was buried. Why he didn't take her to go there? And indirectly he's saying, we are not going to take her from this place to my father or grandfather's place. And then somebody say, why is that? Because if you know, Rachel was beloved of Jacob. And he loved her so much. But she did stole the father's heathen gods and lied about it. And so Jacob said, whoever has those gods, that person should die. And so she was almost cursed. They had a time to ask God forgiveness. God gave Rachel time to ask forgiveness. because Rachel was not pregnant at that time when she was hiding the gods. After a long time, she got pregnant. And so she didn't repent. She didn't say, Lord, I'm sorry. Jacob started moving from there, going to his father's place, and Rachel dies in the middle. And he's saying to his son, it was not too far. It was a very short distance. But I buried her on the way. What he's trying to say, I do not want her to be burying there, because somehow she did not obey the Lord. And that's what she died in the middle of the way in a childbirth, and she should not be taken from there to there, because it's even the small distance. Joseph could do it. Joseph will say, let's send the people, dig her body, and let's take her to the place where your body is going to bury. Later on, he's saying, my Leah is buried there, and I want to go and bury beside her, not beside the Rachel. Even the Rachel was beloved one, but when she committed sin, disobeyed God, he put distance between her. So same thing, if you may like your son, you may like your daughter, but if they are not listening to the word of God, if they don't obey you and the word of God, then you keep distance. But many people not doing it. They will allow them to stay in their house. They will allow their boyfriend to live in their house. And they can do all kinds of things, and you just look other way. That is not the right thing to do. Because you are a child of God, and your house should be holy. Wherever you live, you have to have a set rules. This is the God's house. God lives here. And no other kinds of things can happen in my house, if that house is belong to you. If you are living in your daughter's house, then you have no saying, because you should be praying, Lord, get me out of here. I want to go somewhere and stay somewhere where I can praise God and I can live holy. I don't need a silver platter. I can eat the raw bread and I'll be happy. The word of God says, don't go where the parties are and having delicious food. Keep your knife to your throat. Means don't get the luxury from somebody and they are living in sin. I told you, sometimes people call me into their house and I see something else which is not good, I will point them out. Next time they may not invite me to their house, but I will tell them what's going wrong in your house. And so that's why some people do not invite me to their house. Why people are afraid to the servant of God to come to their house, something is wrong. They don't want you to see it. That's why you have to be very careful. When you go to somebody's house, and if they're committing some sin and it is not pleasing to God, you warn them. If they don't listen, say bye. Get out of the house. One time somebody called me for the birthday party. I went there and sat there. Here the people are dancing with a Michael Jackson song. And I told the man who invited me, sir, this is the birthday party. You should be praising God. You called me to pray for your son. What's happening? So he said, oh, I cannot tell them because they are my friend. I called the mother and father of that child. I said, hey, could you tell your child to stop this? They said, no, we are having a good time. I called the father, grandfather and grandmother, tell your daughter, stop this. He said, I cannot tell my daughter. And they are living with the daughter. Finally, I said to the man who invited me, sir, if you cannot stop this sinful activity, I'm getting out of here. And before I went, one gave warning. I said, today, the child was only 4 years old. Today your child is dancing. The day will come, he will not be able to dance. And I left. The child who was dancing became 7 years old. got a meningitis, rushed to the children's hospital, paralyzed from waist down, cannot walk. Now what? Now no Michael Jackson, no song, no music, no dance. Finally, mother called me and said, please come and pray for my son. I went there, my wife went there, and I told them in the beginning, I told you, your son is doing wrong dancing, and you were encouraging him. I want you to promise me, and the boy was good enough 7 years to listen, never again you will dance for the world. Then I'm going to pray. They promised. I laid hand and prayed. The boy started walking. Today the boy is almost 22 or 23 years old. Healthy and have muscles and strong, healthy boy. Point I was making, when you see sin in the house, tell them this is wrong. They may not invite you again. That's fine. That's why I'm telling you. You invite me for something, don't invite me for dinner or lunch or anything. If you invite and you ask me, how is the food? I'm not going to lie. I will tell you what it is. So that's why I go to somebody's house with fasting. So I don't want to say somebody, your food is bad, or this is not cooked properly, or this doesn't taste good. I don't want to. Some people will eat something and they don't like it. They say, wow, I never ate something like this. It's very tasty, and they lie. So what I'm trying to say, if I go to somebody's house and if I see something wrong, I will tell them. So that's why many people do not want Pastor Peter to come into their house. But that's okay. But point I'm making, here we see, Jacob is telling his son, what God has blessed me, I'm going to give the same blessing to you and your children. Wherever you go to somebody's house, say, Jesus Christ said, say, have peace in this house. And let the Jesus present be here. And if they don't want that peace, and they fight with you, just walk away, shake your dust, he said, and walk. And I will judge them. So our job is to testify and tell somebody goodness of God and bring them to Christ. Okay, let's go back to the verse 8.
And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these?
Now he knew these are his children, but they are not babies anymore. They are teenagers. Now his eyes are a little bit dim. He saw them before, and now he said, who are these with you? Just like Jesus, people come to him. The blind man was saying, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. And he says, hey, call that man. When the man comes, he says, what should I do for you? Somebody said, doesn't he know this man was blind man, was crying and on one side? And now Jesus is asked, what should I do for you? You have to open your mouth and say, this is what I want. So his children are there. He said, who are these people? Then he said, this is my children. Whatever you want, you open your mouth and say to God. God knows everything. God knows everything about you. Jacob could sing. Hey, he might have bought his son, but he wants to make sure. What Joseph wants from me, he bought his sons to be blessed. He said, I want to be right person giving right blessings. Now here Joseph is getting a little bit confused. He might be thinking, my father is very old and he doesn't see anything. He's making mistakes. You'll see it. Verse 9.
And Joseph said unto his father, they are my sons whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed.
Now, he's saying, you know, Joseph, I almost lost you. My son told me that the vicious animal came and killed you, and they showed me the clothes, and I thought my son is dead, and I will never see his face again. But now I was able to see your face and your children's face. This is not the first time he's saying. When he came, he was 130 years old. His eyes were good that time. He has seen his children. So he said, I have seen your seed. Now he's a little bit old and he cannot see properly, but he said, I have seen your children. I have seen the seed. I have seen and I'm satisfied. And he was very happy to see his grandchildren. Verse 12.
And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him.
Now, they might be like a praying and from his knee, and he bowed down, maybe his children also bowed down, and then Joseph settled them in the right position. He took the Manasseh, his first son, put in the right hand of Jacob, and Ephraim, left hand of Jacob. So he thought he's going to bless him, Manasseh, with the right hand, and then he will bless the Ephraim also. And he settled everything, so he will not make mistake. So see what the Jacob is doing. Verse 14.
And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day.
Now here again, when he is already putting the hand on his grandchildren, and the same time he's saying, Joseph, I want to bless you because God has blessed me. And he is again testifying, my God bless me. I want to pass it on, my blessing, to you and your children. And if you read the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 21, the Hebrew writers also says how God blessed Joseph through Jacob.
By faith, Jacob, when he was a-dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff.
See, he blessed Joseph, and he blessed Joseph, both sons. So he was able to bless these people. He put his hand like this, crossing like this. And so his son, you will be reading a little bit further, he's thinking maybe his father didn't know what he was doing. Please read a little bit further. Verse 16. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
The angel which redeemed me from all evil blessed the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head.
Now see, he's already blessing him, what God blessed him. He is telling him how the angel appeared to him, God appeared to him, God blessed him. So he is saying, I am blessed, I'm going to bless you. Now he is in the spirit of blessing. He is in a right mood to bless these people. And then Joseph is saying, Daddy, you're making a mistake. He did not just say it, but he started moving his hand and putting it other way around. Now this time, Jacob is weak, he's sick. You can move his hand easily, right? When you're a sick person, you have no strength. But he said, no, don't do that. I know what I'm doing. Just start from the Genesis. Cain was the first boy, right? But God blessed Abel, then Cain. Then comes the Abraham. Abraham did not bless his first son, but he blessed his second son, Isaac. The same way, Isaac did not bless his first son, Esau, but he blessed Jacob. So all of this pattern is coming, and nobody knows why this is happening, but God was showing spiritually the second generation or second people or second son will be much more blessed than the first one. Your first son was the Jewish people. But now we are not Jewish, we are adopted in the Jewish family. But we are much more blessed than the Jewish people. Go back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and start reading the last two verses.
And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
Now, when you read this 11th chapter, this chapter of all the heroes, all the people did so many good things, warriors, and died for the faith. And you start from verse 32 and coming up to 40, there are so many names given. And then the writer said, I don't have time to even tell more names. But those people suffer for the faith. But he says, even though they suffer for the faith and they did so many great things, but they were not made perfect. God has kept something better for us. So without us, they cannot be made perfect. Who are they? Jewish people. The born-again Christians are much more blessed than the Jewish people. Somebody says, oh, you are changing the theology. This is nothing changing. It is biblical. John the Baptist was the last Jewish prophet. Jesus is the almost last. But John the Baptist, he is the last prophet. After that, there is no other prophet came. Jesus is the only one. But John the Baptist says, I am just a friend, listening to the bride and bridegroom's voice, and I'm satisfied. That is in John chapter 3, verse 29 and so. So here John the Baptist says, I am friend. And who is the bride? The church is the bride. Who is the bridegroom? Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. So he says, I am satisfied listening to the bridegroom and bride. And so if the John the Baptist is the friend, then all other people in the Old Testament becomes friend. Why? Because Jesus said John the Baptist is the greatest among all who were born by the woman. And so that means all the people who were born into this world and all these prophets, John the Baptist is greatest. If the greatest man says, I am the friend, then what? All other people come to that same category. So what's our position? We are the bride, they are the friend. They come for the wedding, and after the wedding, they go home. But the bride stays with the bridegroom. So we have the greatest place in heaven. Even the Jesus Christ comes to earth. And now they are making all the priests, all the temple and everything. And they are thinking, we want to find out the Levites, we have to find out the calf, we want to find the Ark of the Covenant. And they are gathering everything. But according to the word of God, in the millennium, Jesus Christ will be the king and the priest. And we will be worshiping with him, kings and priests. So their priesthood is already taken it away. In book of Hebrews, we read that Jesus Christ came from the tribe of Judah and there was no priest mentioned. The priesthood comes from the Levites, but when Jesus comes from the Judah, he is the king and he is the priest, and we will be the kings and we will be the priests. So our position in millennium will be greater than the Old Testament people, and in heaven will be greater, because without us, they cannot be made perfect. Okay, let's go back to the Genesis, chapter 48, and verse 17.
And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim. It displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die. But God shall be with you, and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow.
Now here, Joseph wanted to change the situation. His father says, No, son, what I'm doing, I know what I'm doing. But the later on, he said, when he blessed Ephraim, and he blessed the Manasseh, but he said, you know, Ephraim will be greater, and he will multiply, and his blessing will be more. And the future generation will say, the blessing like Ephraim and Manasseh. God will bless you like Ephraim and Manasseh. Means that saying start coming. They saw when God blessed Ephraim was much more blessed than Manasseh. So the people start saying, let God's blessing fall on you just like Ephraim and Manasseh. So that saying came. So now he's almost finished blessing his son. Now his son is in Egypt. He is the Pharaoh's second hand. But his father is saying, you know, son, we are still living in a strange land. When I was young, I got a land for you. He says, with my own hand, with my sword and with my bow, I defeated the people and I got this land just for you. And so in his dying deathbed, he is saying, now I don't have any strength. But when I had a strength, I defeated the enemy. And I took the land with my own hands and with my own bows. So that land, I'm going to give it to you. Now Joseph didn't go and take the land right away. But all his 11 sons, he is giving this land for Joseph. Joseph doesn't need anything right now. He is so much blessed. But he says, whoever has more, the more is given. Because he knew that Joseph is not going to waste my land, and this land will be forever. So he is giving to Joseph and he's saying, you know, Joseph, I got this land with my own hand and with my own bow, and I worked hard and I bought this land with my strength. Now it might be not so precious to you, but when the children of Israel leave this Egypt, this land will go to your children, your family, which I didn't give to Reuben, which I didn't give to anybody else. So this is just like a treasure I'm giving to you. In the like a last rite, he said, son, this is what I kept. You know, when people are dying, they're thinking, if there is any money left, my father would say something, or my mother would say something. This is what he was saying. I don't have anything. I came empty-handed, but I have a land. It's a gold kept for just for you. And so I think Joseph might be very happy. All other brothers are standing there, but they cannot say anything. He said, this land I kept for Joseph. And that's the way the chapter ends. But God willing, you will see the next chapter. He blessed Joseph and his children. Then he goes back again. And in 49 chapter, he prophesies about each and every son. And whatever he says, exactly happens. Some of things happens, some of the things will happen. So, Jacob's life is fulfilled. He's blessed. And he kept something for the last. He did not say as soon as he came, but while going, he said, Joseph, I kept the best land for you. And I got it just for you. And I worked hard. And if somebody looking at that father, now he has no strength to, you know, do anything. But this man was a warrior. He said, with my own hand, I got this land for you. And so that was a much more value in the Joseph's eyes than the Pharaoh's whole kingdom. This was nothing belonged to Joseph. He was just the servant. But now he has land waiting for him and Ephraim and Manasseh. So God has kept something precious for us. Even though we are struggling in this world, he says, you will be walking where? And the golden streets. Now we are a little bit gold you're putting here, you're putting here, you're putting in your neck, you're putting in your nose. You say, hey, you don't need this thing. In my kingdom, you will be walking on it. That's what I'm not taking any silver and gold in this world. I always say, silver and gold, I have none. Look at my fingers. Even though I got married, I never wore the golden ring. And somebody say, oh, some girl will come after you. I said, no, I'll handle it. Thank God no girl could come close to me. Each and every person came, I told them about Jesus. And so, silver and gold, I have none, but one day, I'm going to walk on the golden streets. So I'm telling you, if you have gold and silver, this is the time to sell it. Sell the gold, sell the silver, and give it to the Lord, or use it for your family. Because this silver and gold, one day will come, they will be no value. Will be like a dust. He said, your silver and gold, you will be throwing on the street. No value will be coming for the silver and gold. Now is the time to sell your gold and use it for your family. If your family is hungry and suffering and you keeping that silver and gold in some safe deposit, it'll be too late. You will be dead and nobody will be able to even take the safe deposit for a drilling hole and too much problem. So take it now and sell it and use it for the glory of God. But I don't have to worry. Silver and gold, I have none. I'm going to walk in the golden street someday. Shall we rise? And let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Our Father is in heaven. And he has stored everything for us. The best thing. So we are so thankful to you. We are living in this world, but we are just the travelers. There is no certain place for us. But we are going to reach out to every state, every place in the world, and preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and making many disciples to bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and tell them the best days yet to come. Not in this world, but into heaven. And God has kept something best for us. Without us, no one can be perfected. Thank you, Lord, for the great high calling. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. Give each and every one that vision. Let's live for Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.